Yeah.
It's good.
Erev Tov, good evening. The Pasha this week is Pasha's Truma. Of course, also Pasha Zohar. We will address Psukim in the beginning of the Pasha that you have in front of you in the Marmei Kamos. We're talking about the construction of the Mishkan that the Torah indicates there's a positive commandment, the Mitzvah Saseh, and the Psukim begin along the following lines, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Biyikhu li Truma, Me'ez Kolish Asher Yidvenu Libo, Tikhu Es Truma Si. In general, all of you are aware that the Torah is very careful in the utilization of language, in the phraseology, in the construction of sentences. This second pasuk, Pasuk Beis, presents many, many challenging issues. I'm only concerned about one issue, the word li. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yichu li truma. So Rashi comments, li lishmi. Rashi indicates that it has to be dedicated to Hashem. The Torah continues and begins to delineate the material that was used in terms of the contribution, in terms of the donors, v'zo satruma she'techu me'itom zahav ha'chesed v'nechoshes, u'scheles v'argomon, v'sola shoni v'sheish v'izim, v'oros elim ha'adamim, v'oros techashim v'atzei shitim, a whole list of different types of material. And again, in Pasuk Vav, now we have a more careful delineation, not just of the material, but also the function. This is also a difficult pasuk, since the previous psukim just simply presented the materials. And this was noted by Harav David Feinberg Shlita in the name of my Rebbe, HaGoyin Natsidov Kanatopsky Zechatzal Debracha. But I'm not going to focus on that. The Torah then goes on in Pasuk Ches and tells us, V'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham. Again, the second time the term li is utilized in Pasuk Beis and again in Pasuk Ches, that the Truma should be li, and the Migdash should also be constructed li. And again, Rashi comments over here, directly below, V'asu li migdash v'asu li shmi beis kedusha. The Targum, Unkelos, translates both times the language of V'yichu li Truma and the language of V'asu li migdash in a very literal kind of way, namely, before me, V'yifreshun kodomai. But Rashi is striking. Rashi translates it that there's an element of lishma that the Torah has built in to the truma, to the donations that are being given, and to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban as well, directly below on the bottom, the Ramban beginning of Pashas Truma, where he lays out one of the most conceptually beautiful Rambans, essentially comparing the Mishkan to Har Sinai. The Ramban demonstrates and shows both linguistically, terminologically, and conceptually all the analogies between the Mishkan or the Migdash and Har Sinai. The language is very similar. And certainly in terms of the Kedusha of both the Migdash, the Mishkan, and Har Sinai, they are very similar. The Torah there describes in the context of Har Sinai, V'higbalto esam saviv lemor. There it's delineated, it's divided into different sectors of Kedusha, Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael, an area of the Shechina, an area of the Leviyim, and Machane Yisrael. And similar, the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan also have a similar kind of division, a tripartite division. So there are many, many areas of analogy. And essentially what the Ramban articulates is a very beautiful concept. The Mishkan was an extension of Maimon Har Sinai. Maimon Har Sinai was a one-time experience, a rather momentous and rather dramatic, majestic kind of experience, incredibly charismatic. And the question is, how do I maintain that? And the Ramban contends it's maintained through the Mishkan. The Mishkan was an ongoing Har Sinai experience, a portable Har Sinai. Just as at Har Sinai there was Hashuas Hashchina, the Mishkan was also essentially ensconced in that kind of atmosphere of Hashuas Hashchina as well. So the Ramban in the bottom, beginning of Truma, in the two lines that you have in front of you, the Ramban says that Klal Yisrael after Kabbalas HaTorah, when essentially we became connected to Hashem Yisbarach in the most beautiful of ways. Hein kedoshim, we are sanctified, as the Torah tells us. We became a malach zekhan and begod kadosh. Perek Yutes in Yisrael. Ruim shiyeh b'hem migdash lahashro shchinas b'neim. We're worthy of the migdash. We're worthy of hashras hashchina. Ulekach tzchi batzila al dvar hamishkan shiyeh lo bais besochon. And then the Ramban uses the expression mekudash l'shmo. Again, that the Beis HaMikdash should be dedicated lishmo, l'shem Hashem Yisbarach, dedicated to his name. And of course there, that was a makom hitvadut. There he's going to speak with Moshe Rabbeinu and command Klal Yisrael. And then the Ramban, as I just mentioned, articulates his seminal position that the Mishkan is an extension of the Maimon HaSinai revelation. And then the Ramban begins to refer to Psukim. Take a look at page number 2. And we're going to go in order. Just really amazing when you examine the Psukim in Tanakh that deal with the Makom HaMikdash, we find almost a kind of, I guess I can only describe it as a theme that is so often reiterated and repeated so many times. Take a look at the Psukim that are found in Melachim Aleph and Perek Beis, Psukim Tezayin to Yates. There, Shlomo HaMelech sends to Chiram and he requests his assistance in terms of the Makom HaMikdash. He tells him, "Atoyadata, you know, as David Avi ki lo yachal libnos bayis l'shem Hashem Elokot." David HaMelech was not able to build, to construct a Beis HaMikdash, and I underline l'shem Hashem Elokot, because David HaMelech, as the Psukim say, Dibre Ayomim, because unfortunately he was involved in a number of different wars, and as a result of that, he was not able to construct the Beis HaMikdash, because as we know, the Navi indicates Dam larov shafachta umilchamos gedolos asisa, and therefore lotiv nebayis oshmi. That's a pasuk divrei yamim. That's not in front of you, because damim rabim shafachta arzo lefanai. As a result of all the milchamos, and here it's alluded to in the psukim of Melachim Aleph, and therefore David HaMelech is embarking on this mission to build a Beis HaMikdash. Libnos bayis l'shem Hashem Elokai. Again repeated, and therefore he indicates that he's asking for assistance from Chiram, Melech Tzor, and again, a third time, Hu Yivne Bayis L'Shmi. The Navi continues to explain that this is a very fundamental principle. The second set of Psukim, also Melachim Aleph Periches. Melachim Aleph Periches has the investiture of the Beis HaMikdash, the Chanukas HaMikdash. So there, Shlomo HaMelech waxes eloquent, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, that he spoke to my father, David HaMelech, and he indicated that there was no city, Mikol Shifta Yisrael, Livnos Bayis Leo Shmi Shom. The Shem Hashem and the Makom HaMikdash almost coalesce. They almost merge. And David HaMelech was chosen, and Hashem accompanied David, Livnos Bayis L'Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And a bit later, Hashem told David, since you are on board, Livnos Bayis L'Shmi, you're the one who's going to be Zoche. And David HaMelech indicates, so notice, obviously, this concept, this idea of the Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael is mentioned again and again. I'm just going to show you many other psukim that indicate this as well. I didn't select all the psukim in Tanakh, but I just chose a random sampling of such psukim, which underscore and accentuate this point, a very significant point. Again, the Navi continues, Ki yimlu yamecha b'shachate savusecha, namely, David HaMelech paved the way for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara has in Zvachim this discussion that essentially David is the one who built the Beis HaMikdash, even though he didn't physically do the building because he couldn't, as I mentioned earlier. It was done by Shlomo HaMelech. But Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, we say it every single day. It's clearly ascribed to David HaMelech. But again, the Tanai, the prerequisite, what seems to be a precondition, Hu Yivne Bayis L'Shmi. And then the Navi in Melachim Aleph describes at great length different types of situations that warrant someone coming to the Beis HaMikdash. We mentioned a number of times the Ramban writes that Tefillah is considered to be the Oraisa Beis Tzora. The Shita Sarambam is that Tefillah is always Min HaTorah, and most Rishonim disagree with the Ramban, and the Ramban is the leader among those who contend with the position of the Rambam and argues that tefillah is a din d'rabbanan, only rabbinic in nature. However, Beis Sarah, the Rambam contends that tefillah has a din d'oraisa, a Torah status, and he brings a proof from Baal Oscha. There the Torah says, "V'chisavon melchama be'artzechem al atzar ha'tzarareschem," during a time of war, during a time of siege, during a time of travail, "v'ariosim ha'chatzotzos." That's one source that tefillah takes on a Torah kind of status. And the second source is right here in the Pesukim Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, in the investiture of the Beis Hamikdash and the Chanukas Hamikdash. There are different types of tzaros are mentioned. But among the items that are found there, that not only do we have access to the Beis Hamikdash, we meaning Klal Yisrael during the times of tzara, whether it's Rav or Batzoret or Milchama, whatever it may be, but even the non-Jew, even a Goy, we know we say in our davening, "Ki beisi beis tefila yikarei lechol ha'amim," and the Mokam Hamikdash is primarily a Mokam Tefila, primarily a place where people gather for the purpose of davening. So there the Navi says, "Zigamal anochri asher lo mi'amcha Yisraelu uba mi'eretz v'cholka leman shemecha." There's one, again, tonight, kodem lemaisa. There's one precondition, indispensable, for the Mokam Hamikdash to really have the kind of impact that it can have. Namely, it has to be leman shemecha, because they heard about what Hashem did. They know the Hashkach of Hashem is Barach, and they're coming to also pray at the Mokam Hamikdash. Ato tishma shamayim v'chon shivtecha, and Hashem will carry out the wishes of the non-Jew. That would be a great Kiddush Hashem. That would be a sanctification of the name of God. They also will become God-fearing as a result of your responding to their overtures. Again, this association, the Shem Hashem, together with the Makom HaMikdash. So we've seen a fair number of psukim that indicate that the Mikdash and the idea of Lishma, when one comes to the Mikdash, it has to be Lishma, and the Mikdash has to be constructed Lishma. This is a fundamental concept that both the Mishkan and the Mikdash were built Lishma. The Shem Hashem recurs so many times, we're absolutely astounded. Why is there such a necessity to echo repeatedly, again and again, recapitulating such a fundamental and basic idea? Ostensibly, this idea is already foreshadowed in the Pesukim that we began with. Namely, and as Rashi commented, and as we noted twice, li lishmi, and ba'asul li migdash, Rashi said, ba'asul lishmi beis kedusha. So let's try to, a little bit, to the extent that we can, try to formulate what yesod, what fundamental principles embedded in this idea, in all the psukim that I mentioned, all the aforementioned psukim, and this concept of lishma is one that's well known to us. It's not a chiddush. We know that in general, the Chazal tell us that everything we do should be lishma. Of course, we are cognizant of the fact that frailty, thy name is human, and as a result, often we do things shelo lishma. But the hope is that the olam yasak adam b'torah v'mitzvah safil shelo lishma shemitoch shelo lishma b'lishma. The Rambam describes this in the Akdamah of the Pirush HaMishnayos at great length, that a person has to develop and cultivate and nurture this concept of doing things lishma. But initially, our entire generation, I'm a Rebbe for many years, a Rosh Hashiva, a Rav, and I'm very into incentivization, providing people with incentives, and that works. It seems to work sometimes in an ideal kind of fashion. And even though I'm a purist by nature, and contend that really wants you to try to do things lishma all the time, but we have to be cognizant of whom we are dealing with, and chanoch l'nal pidarko, and if one can ultimately bring a person to that ideal madrega lishma, that's great, but along the way, there have to be a lot of incentives and the like, and that is also something which is clearly understood by Chazal, and we should utilize whatever possible, as they call it in Hebrew, whatever potentum are necessary in order to achieve the ultimate end. So there's a well-known controversy regarding the tilos of the Mikdash or the Mishkan. The Ibn Ezra, which is the next item, directly below the Psukim, notes in his commentary to Pashas Truma, writes the following. He indicates that what is the function of the Mikdash? Sheyasu Mikdash L'shem HaNichbad V'yishkan B'tocho. He just takes the Psukim in a very literal kind of way. V'asili Mikdash V'shachanti B'socha. That the whole purpose of the Mishkan, on the Mikdash was Hashuas Hashchina, to create a venue for the divine presence to rest, a meeting place of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam, however, in marked contrast, does not seem to indicate that this is the major function of the Migdash or the Mishkan. He writes in Beis Abchira, in the first halacha, Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph, Mitzvah say, Lasos Bayis Hashem, Muchan Lios Makrivim Bar Kabanos. Wow. The Rambam presents a completely different understanding of the function of the Migdash, namely, it's a means to an end. It's a geographic locus designed that we should be able to offer up Karbanos. Where did the Rambam see this in the Pasuk? The text of the Pasuk is very clear. It seems to support the Ibn Ezra. Vasili Migdash for the purpose of Hashras Hashchina. We should connect with Hashem Isbarach. We should have Vekus. The Rambam repeats this idea. In Sefer HaMitzvah is directly below the Rambam in Mishneh Torah. He tells us, He shed Sivonu, Livnos Pesavchir La Avoda, Bo Yeh Hakrova, Vaboras Eish Tomid, Ve'elav Tiyah Halichol Eregel, that three times, the thrice annual year pilgrimage, Sholosh Pam Bashana Yerah Kol Zechurcha, Va'akibus V'chol Shonu V'u Amori Yisaleh, Vasul Yimigdosh. So the Rambam sees the Beis Hamigdosh as a center for the offering of sacrifices, as a venue for the Aliyah the Regal, the annual pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, for the gathering of Kol Yisrael. But the common denominator of both positions, undoubtedly, namely that of Ibn Ezra on the one side and that of the Rambam on the other side, the Migdash was constructed for Hashem. And again, the question comes to the fore, why is it so critical that the Beis HaMikdash should be built Lishmi? Why is this idea accentuated so many times? The other day, I was talking to a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, and we were discussing the Gemara Nazir, where the Gemara tells us, in the context of Yoel, Eshes Chemer HaKeni, the Gemara has a very striking statement, which is very challenging and one that we have to try our best to avoid to the extent that we can. The Gemara says that Gdola Avera Lishma, Mi Mitzvah Shalom Lishma. What a statement. A person does a mitzvah shalom lishma, we just mentioned, it's not the ideal, but certainly a person is going to get a schar for doing a mitzvah shalom lishma. But then the Gemara says, Avera lishma, a person does an Avera l'shem shamayim. That's greater than the mitzvah shalom lishma. So one thing is clear. If someone's going to do an Avera, you better make sure that the Avera is lishma 1,000%. That's how many mefarshim point out. Well, we should try to avoid doing Averas under all circumstances. But Yael Eshet Chevri HaKeni was clearly involved in the Hatzol of Klal Yisrael. And so she had some sort of a dispensation. There's another area also we see something of a similar nature. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, and this is already borne out by Chazal in a number of places, Kol Ha'eskim Matzibur, Yoskim Mimoyam B'Shem Shamayim. If someone's going to be an Askan Tziburi, he's working with the public, make sure that he does it L'Shem Shamayim. He shouldn't do it for his own COVID. He shouldn't do it for other kinds of purposes in order to bask in his self-refulgence. That's not called Osig Matzibur L'Shem Shamayim. Or I often contend that that's exactly what we say in Yikum Purkan. Kol Misha Oskim Mitzorchei Tzibur Be'emuna. Be'emuna means L'Shma. Has to be done 100% L'Shma if someone is Osig Matzibur. Okay, I just mentioned that in the context of what we see here, namely the Beis HaMikdash, all the Tanakh, all the psukim we saw indicate that Lishma is critical. And now the question is that we want to examine is the following. In general, when one examines any concept in halacha or in Tanakh or an institution that we're familiar with, you have to ask yourself whether that concept or institution, is that an end in itself or is it only a means to an end? Very often, people confuse this. People somehow assume that the means becomes an end in itself. And people, as a result, fail to grasp. They fail to make the proper discriminating distinctions. Anyone who is involved with the study of Torah, as all of us are, know that the most critical talent that a person should really develop in the course of learning Torah is the ability to make discriminating distinctions. Emein das havdol minayit. That's what it's all about. We have to learn to make distinctions. But in order to do that, we have to have enormous knowledge of Torah. And that's what we turn to great Rabbonim, Tamanei Chachamim, Gdolei Yisrael, people who are knowledgeable in different areas. So this concept of sacrifices is a centerpiece of Avodas Hashem. According to the Rambam, That's the primary and preeminent function of building the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. But we know that the Nevi'im constantly underscored that korbanos sacrifices are only a means to an end. And there are psukim directly below that indicate this as well. Take a look now at the psukim below the Sefer HaMitzvos that are cited here from Shmuel Aleph, very famous psukim. We all are familiar with them. And I would say this idea is literally found throughout Tanakh, everywhere one looks, that the korban, the sacrifice, is only a means to an end, not an end in itself. When Shaul HaMelech, King Shaul, failed to execute the full directive of Shmuel HaNavi, he was supposed to utterly destroy every vestige of Amalek, that's this week's Pasha, a Pasha Zohar. So Shmuel lodges a very strong protest, and Shaul HaMelech responds, and that's here in the lower right-hand corner. Vayom Shaul HaShmuel, initially he tells Shmuel, Asher Shamati B'Kol Hashem, Va'eleich B'derech Asher Shochani Hashem, I carried out the mission. He thought that he actually carried out his mission 100%. And right away, Shmuel responds, Vayomer Shmuel, Hachevetz Hashem Ba'olos Uzvachim Kishmoa B'kol Hashem? Hashem is not interested in korbanos. The idea of a sacrifice is not a fundamental tenet of our faith. It's not a substitution for implementing the commandments of Hashem. What Hashem wants is that we should listen, we should hearken, we should carry out the Ratzon Hashem. Hinei Shmoa Mizemach Tov, Lakshim Mechel Veilim. Clearly, Shmia and Hakshava, listening to the Tzibuyim of Hashem, are far more significant than any Karban, than any Zemach, than any Chel Veilim. And he writes and speaks very strongly. Ki chatas kesem meri ve'ovinu srofim hafzar yad ma'aster es dvar Hashem v'yimos chomim belach. And basically, he tells Shaul, you missed the boat. You missed the point. You're completely operating in a fashion that's inappropriate, that's incorrect. And a further example of this phenomena is the behavior of the Klal Yisrael in the periods that the Mikdash and the Mishkan were extant. History teaches us that in those times, because we had the Beit HaMikdash and because we had the Mishkan, we felt we were immune from punishment. We were essentially impregnable because of the presence of the Beit HaMikdash, and we could do whatever we want. We can behave as we so desire. There's no problem. We have the Beit HaMikdash to protect us. And the Nabi Yirmiyahu on the bottom of the page addresses this issue, again, both of the Karbanos and of the Beis HaMikdash. The Navi writes, Ko Amashim, Tzvokol, Tzvokol, Yisrael, Olo Seichem, Su'al Zivcheichem, Vichlu Basar, Ki Lo Dibarti Esavu Seichem, Velo Tzivisim, Hashem says, I didn't tell your forebears, I didn't command you when I took you out of Mitzrayim, Al Diri Olo Vazovach. That was not the sole interest that I had when I spoke to you about constructing the Mikdash and the Mishkan, but rather, Ki Emes Adobra Azet Tzivisi Osom Leim, Oshimu Vekoli, listen to my command. Hearken to my voice. Follow my Torah principles. That was my sole and only interest. And even prior to that, Yirmiyahu HaNavi relates to the Beis HaMikdash itself. And here you have, in the upper left-hand corner of page number 2, a rather lengthy series of psukim. And the Navi Yirmiyahu takes them to task. And take a look again, the language which is so striking and so dramatic. Improve your act. And then Hashem says, V'ashachno eschem b'amokam hazeh. Then the Shechina will come and rest. Al tiftuchu lechem el divri ha-shekel emor. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem hema. One of the most famous psukim in Tanakh. Essentially, what did Klal Yisrael do? Claudius said, we have no problem. We can behave as we so desire in a carefree kind of fashion, and we'll get atonement, we'll get expiation. How? Through the instrumentality of the Korbanos, through the Beis HaMikdash. There's no need to go through a torturous and tortuous process of tshuva. Why? We have the Beis HaMikdash. We have Korbanos. Or, the way the Navi calls it, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. It's a kind of kemeya, like people who rely on amulets. People run after skulas. Why should I observe the laws of Shabbos? I have skulas, no problem. I can resolve all my problems. I have some talisman which can miraculously transform everything. I can undergo metamorphosis. I don't have need to go ahead and follow the dictates of the Shulchan Aruch, what Hashem Yisbarach wants us to do. The Mikdash and the Karbanos, again, are not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. This is what the Navi is saying very clearly. And he writes again and again, Yemio, in the upper left-hand corner, page number 2, if you act appropriately, and you don't oppress those that are misfortunate, those that are destitute, and those that are underlings. And he goes on, and you think that, okay, but I have the Beis HaMikdash, and that will protect me. I can engage in every kind of skullduggery imaginable, as the Navi says right before that. Every possible, Rachman Litzlan, terrible, terrible, egregious kind of sin you can violate. And then you say, no problem. Now you go to the Beis HaMikdash. And it's all taken care of. There are religions of that nature. That clearly, that's what it's all about. They say about Generalissimo Franco, many years ago in Spain, he was an ardent Catholic. And he would engage in every kind of mayhem, murder, killing, who knows what. But then one goes before the cleric and everything is absolved. Everything is forgiven. That is not our concept of the Beis HaMikdash. But many think that way. And we assume that we've taken care of our problem. And that's what the Navi writes. You do all these toivot, hamorat paritzim. That's what he calls the Makom HaMikdash, Rachman Litzlan. The Asisi Labayis Hashanik Rashmi Olav. Essentially, what message is being completely and totally articulated here, a message about all the Nevi'im in Tanakh and by the Doli HaRishonim, and I believe it's all embedded in this idea, V'asuli Lishmi, this concept of Lishma, understanding what the ends are, what the means to the end are, what exactly my valuation in terms of how I view things should be a proper kind of valuation. Does the Mikdash and the Karbanos are a vehicle through which a Jew, after profound remorse and thorough tshuva, can utilize to concretize and complete the process of returning to Hashem. The Rambam Mordechai, which is the last citation over here on this page, says it even more explicitly. What is the ultimate goal, the Rambam says? He writes on top, Lefikach tziva, livnos hechalo, v'asuli migdash, v'shea mizbech lishmo, mizbech adoma taseli, v'shea korban lo. He's underscoring this word that I accentuated earlier, lishmi. Adam kiyakim became korban Hashem, v'shtachavoya lo, v'aktores lefonov. And one should obviously abandon Avodah Zarah, abandon idolatry. And once you try to achieve the highest level, the Rambam says it's the level of being someone who knows Hashem, a yodea of Hashem Yisbarach, ki yedati, the way the Torah describes Avraham Avinu's relationship with Hashem Yisbarach. And this process is not instantaneous by any means. It's a product of slow, methodical progression. That's what the Rambam writes. And he goes on to describe that all of the above, namely the Beis HaMikdash and Kayanim, and the Karbanos, and the Avoda, and all the Diktuk, and all the minutia and great detail. And he writes in the middle, V'hein kulam eina matara la'atzmam. It's not a end in itself. Ela machmas davar acher. It's only a means to an end. Explicit statement in the Moreh Nevuchim and the Rambam regarding the proper perspective, the proper hashkafa. And he goes on the last paragraph here. And because of this, the Rambam says, you find throughout Tanakh, many, many divrei tochacha, words of chastisement. Alihitusam the karbanos. People were running after karbanos. Uber lahem she'enan hamatara chashulik shel atzman. It's not an end in itself. Hashem does not require it. He quotes the psukim that I mentioned in Shmuel, in Yirmiyahu, and the Rambam indicates now in the black and print, v'karbanos hadvarim hu mashu biyarti lecha. She'kein hu omer, ki amatara harishona eina ela she'tasigunu. We want to connect with Hashem Yisbarach. That's what we want to do. And Hashem Yisbarach gave us all kinds of auxiliary aids to help us achieve the ultimate goal. We have to know what the ultimate goal is, what the means to achieve that goal, and don't take those means and transform them into ends in and of themselves. And that's how the Rambam ends this little passage over here. Namely, the whole idea of Karbanos and the Beis Hamikdash is only in order to achieve that ultimate end of connecting to Hashem Yisbarach. And the Rambam, really, to my mind, his words are, in some respects, frightening, but at the same time, obviously, very fundamental, very significant, very basic. Let me just, for a few moments, perhaps, focus on this concept of Lishma, of doing things Lishma, which is a clear and very fundamental halachic precept and hashkafic precept. It's probably the very cornerstone of Weltschauung, of our entire world perspective. Even in terms of the Rashi that we began with, Vasu li lishmi, and Vasu, the Torah mentions building the Beis Hamikdash lishma, that if a person were to build a house and, let's say, later on decide to convert it to Beis Hamikdash, it would not be valid. That's an invalid Beis Hamikdash. And even if a person were to be involved in quarrying stones, it has to be with the Beis Hamikdash in mind. And the Rambam quotes, actually, in Beis Abchira, in Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf, that, again, a stone that was quarried for the construction of a shul, of a synagogue, cannot be used for the Beis Hamikdash. This is a din of Lishma. And as I mentioned earlier, Hashem disqualified David HaMelech from constructing the Beis Hamikdash because he was involved in many battles. There was bloodshed, and that and the Beis Hamikdash does not go together. Then we know from Rashi and Chumash as well that the Torah tells us that it mentions in Mizbech Havon in Tassili Lo Sidne Ezen Gozis, you cannot use any kind of metallic implement. And Rashi indicates that contact with iron disqualifies, and even though David HaMelech's wars were undoubtedly fought the Shem Shamayim, but it involved bloodshed, and it doesn't go well, bloodshed and the Beis Hashem, the Mokam HaMikdash. And it's very fascinating, even Kohanim, her servant, the Beis HaMikdash, should also not be involved in taking lives. And this is something which is very much stressed by the Zohar. The Mepharshim bring actually from the Zohar. Of course, on Yom Kippur, Kohen has no choice. He has to engage in all kinds of the avoda. He has to do the shechita according to Rashi in Yevamos. And Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, that even on Shabbos, the Kohen has to do the shechita. But the Zohar contends, wherever possible, a non-Kohen should slaughter the animal. We know that shechita is kasher bazar. There are four avodos, shechita, and after the shechita, we have, of course, Kabbalah Sadam, and Holocha Sadam, and then Zrika Sadam. And certainly the first avoda, shechita is kasher bazar. The Gemara learns it out, that even a non-Kohen can do so. But at the same time, we tried that the Kohanim should not be associated with any kind of bloodshed. And undoubtedly, this again is based on a similar notion that I mentioned earlier, a moment ago, that Shvichas Domim and building the Beis Hamikdash, however lofty and holy the reason for why I did what I did, namely David HaMelech, somehow it's not in sync, it's not congruous with the building of the Beis Hamikdash. I heard from Hagoyin of Chaim Shulevitz Zatzal, he offered another reason why the wars of David HaMelech disqualified him from constructing the Beis Hamikdash. He said that in a state of war, it's very difficult to construct a Mikdash Lishma. The merit of having a Mikdash is essentially to protect us from our enemies. These are psukim that are found throughout Tanakh that indicate that this is one of the functions of the Mokam HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash. There's a pasuk actually in Tanakh, a well-known pasuk, where Shmuel HaNavi actually indicate that in Shmuel Beis, it's in Perek Zayin, pasuk Yud, where the Navi says, "V'samti mokom la'ami li'Yisrael u'netativ, v'shachan tachtov lo yugazod, v'le'yasifu b'nei ablo la'anosu kasher b'rishona." Namely, Hashem's going to establish a place for Klal Yisrael, and he's going to plant it there, and he's going to essentially dwell there, and those who are our enemies will no longer afflict us. And that's essentially that the Beis Hamikdash becomes almost a kind of Haganah, becomes a kind of protection, a vehicle for protection for Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people. So even if my motivation for construction of the Beis Hamikdash is a sincere one, namely, I want the Shechina to be there, but the fact that I also wanted to protect me from my enemy makes it no longer purely Lishma. Something is lacking in the Lishma of the Beis Hamikdash, which is inherent, which is embedded in the whole concept of building the Beis HaMidrash and building the Mishkan. And that's why we know that Hashem tells David HaMelech that only his son Shlomo is going to merit building the Beis HaMidrash, because as we know, he's going to be Ish Menucha, and there will be Shalom v'Shalva during his days. And therefore, as a result, the Navi says, Hu Yivne Habayis L'Shmi, a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim. He's going to build the Beis HaMidrash for my name's sake. It's obviously much easier, said Rav Chaim Shulevitz, to have the proper intent during an era of peace and tranquility. Because if we are not in such an era, we're not in halcyon days, so even though we are surrounded by difficulties, we think that the Beis HaMidrash will offer us protection from our enemies. And that is lacking in what the Lishma of the Beis HaMidrash is all about. The Gemara has, for example, a famous machlokes regarding Yibum. As far as the Lishma, the person dies childless, God forbid, his brother performs Yibum and marries his sister-in-law, the widow. So the Gemara presents the following machlokes in Yavamas Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Abba Shaul says, Hakones es yivinto l'shem noy, u'l'shum ishus, u'l'shum davar acher, ki l'pogia be'erva. Abba Shaul says, if a Yavam, the brother-in-law, marries his sister-in-law on account of her beauty, or in order to gratify his sexual desires or with any other kind of ulterior motive, so the Gemara says that's considered to be as if he, Rahman al-Islan, the language of the Gemara is very strong, almost as if he committed incest, Rahman al-Islan. However, the Chacham disagree, and they say, no, Yavama Yavam Aleha Mikol Makom, I am Mekai in the midst of Yibam, even if my intentions were not necessarily the ideal, completely Lishma. My intentions were the Shem Noi or the Shem Ishus. It was not pure intentions. Still, the halacha is that we go ahead and permit the Yibam to take place. So the question is, regarding the first opinion, the Ashkenazic Poskim were very choshesh for the first opinion of Abba Shaul. And therefore, Ashkenazim do not have a concept of Yibam today. There are exceptionally few situations where there can be a concept of Yibam. Sfaradim still have a concept of Yibam. Ashkenazim do not have any concept of Yibam. Why? What is the interpretation of Abba Shaul? Was his intention that the brother-in-law must have no other motive except for the fulfillment of a mitzvah? So if he was drawn by her beauty, then that's considered to be Rahman al-Insan bordering on incest? Or does he permit Yibam in a case where there is Lishma, but there are also other interests? Namely, the woman is very attractive to me. So we're not here taking sides in such a machlokes, but there's an inherent difficulty in the view that Abba Shaul would permit performing the mitzvah with good intentions as well as other desires that he may have. Strictly speaking, the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Yibam comes before the mitzvah of Chalitza. That's a ceremony performed for someone who doesn't want to do Yibam. So if so, what were the Ashkenazic Poskim so concerned about? Is it so unlikely that even a person who is desirous of this woman will also have in mind some element of being mekai in the mitzvah? Is that a reason to uproot a mitzvah from the Torah? We know that all the mitzvahs that we do, we put on tzitzis and we put on tefillin and we say kriyas shema. Of course we do it, hopefully to be mekai in the mitzvah. But is it impossible for this yavam also to have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah? So it would seem to prove that Abba Shaul demands pure kavanah. And given that such a level is nearly impossible to reach, the Ashkenazic Poskim really permitted Yibam, said that, no, that's not something that we can somehow countenance. But in general, as you know, there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Siman Samech, whether mitzvahs require kavanah, don't require kavanah. Of course, l'chatchila, the way the Radvaz, the Mishnah Berurah cites from the Radvaz, certainly by mitzvahs min HaTorah, we have to have kavanah as necessary. The only machlokes is whether one fulfills his obligation in the event I didn't have proper kavanah. But certainly, one should have kavanah, undoubtedly. The pasuk says in Chumash that we're supposed to be ovde Hashem, ula ovde b'chol avavchem, serve Hashem with all of our heart. And that would imply that with any other kavanah involved, it's not called b'chol avavchem. It's no longer called serving Hashem with all my heart. I remember that I heard Hagoyin Rav Levinsohn Shlita give a very fascinating example to this. Chazal tell us that one should not eat a lot on Erev Pesach. It's the first Mishnah of Avri Psochim. Avri Psochim, Sovach HaMincha, La'yich Alon HaMashe Tekshach. And the Rashbam there comments, another Rishonim as well, Kedei She'yochal Matzah Shal Mitzah L'Teyovah Mishum Hidu Mitzah. We want to make sure that the Matzah's Mitzah that we eat at nighttime We eat it with gusto. We eat it with a lot of appetite. So he said that because of that, the Mishnah writes, you shouldn't overeat on Erev Pesach. So he said, if one were to ask him, I would have said, the opposite. One should eat on Erev Pesach in order that one should be close to being satiated when you partake of the matzah. This way, the matzah is eaten purely to Shem Shammai with no other intentions. So why don't we say punk faker? Just the opposite. And Chazal say no. Chazal say the antithesis. It would seem that Chazal decided having an appetite is an intrinsic part of the mitzvah. It doesn't take away from love the b'chol avavchem. Similarly, we have the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. The Gemara says that Shabbos l'oneg nitnav lo tzar. Shabbos is given the purpose of oneg. We're supposed to delight in the Shabbos. So there are some people, because the Gemara mentions the idea of eating fish on Shabbos, kasa d'harsana, they have fish at every meal. Let's say I don't like fish. Let's say I detest fish. That's not going to be an onik for me. There's no obligation to eat something that to me is detestable, is repugnant, is something that I don't enjoy. We're supposed to delight in the Shabbos. So the mitzvah of eating matzah therefore involves having an appetite for matzah. The Gemara even says that matzah requires a tam. Morah certainly requires a tam, but matzah also requires a tam. But we paskin bala matzah yotza, bala morah lo yotza. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that even had we not been commanded to serve Hashem with all of our heart, there'd be another marker for requiring us to do so. He said that the mitzvah of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, loving Hashem, requires that a man not love anything else. I have constantly to keep in mind this idea, this concept of Avas Hashem. He writes, the Sefer HaChinuch, I'll read part of his language. Yosim kol machshavto v'chol magamoso acha Avas Hashem. That one's entire thrust of every one of his activities should be to achieve Avas Hashem, loving Hashem, the Yarach Belibo Tamid, Ki Kol Mashehu Be'olam, Me'osher U'banim U'kavod, whatever I have in this world, wealth and children and honor, Hakol Ka'ayim Ke'efes, Keneged Avas Yisbarach. All this doesn't compare to the love which one has for Hashem Yisbarach. Ad Shelo Yeh Rega Echad Bayom V'Alayla Be'akitzo, there should not be one waking moment, by day or by night, Shelo Yeh Zoche Avas Adon V'Cholibo, that he doesn't remember for a second that he has to love Hashem Yisbarach with all of his heart. So let's say a person whose thoughts are not 24-7 on Hashem, but he's interested in his own pleasure. He's interested in having a good meal, a pleasurable meal, another pleasurable experience, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Bitel asei zeh v'ayin shegodol v'ezmir. Who's not over on this? Unbelievable. He'll be subject to severe punishment if he has any kind of pleasure that's not connected to Avas Hashem. And as well, the love of Torah has to be because of Avas Hashem. The love of every Jew has to be the Shem Shamayim, because Hashem told us we have to love every Jew. So it's amazing. Undoubtedly, we have to engage in all kinds of physical activities because that's the desire of Hashem. We should eat. Where the Rambam says, in order to have koach to serve him, that would require us to like what we eat. Otherwise, we'd be unable to eat. And according to the Chinuch, eating in order to gratify our own desires and not in order to have more energy to serve Hashem is a violation of this mitzvah of Avas Hashem, of loving God. Now, obviously, these words are very, very difficult to fulfill. And yet, it makes perfect sense. Because if we're commanded to serve him with all of our heart, that our heart must be filled with love for Hashem, leaving no room for any love that's not the Shem Shamayim. Of course, there are many people who tell you that whatever they do is the Shem Shamayim. I once heard from Rosh Hashiva that he told me it is a Tesefta, that sometimes he has to go ahead and engage in some sort of skullduggery like Gezel. Gezel, Shem Shamayim is Mutter. Everything's a Shem Shamayim. Whatever we do is a Shem Shamayim, unquestionably. They say from the Kotzke, he asked on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, "Sechol Maasecha Yul Hashem Shamayim." So why does it say "Bechol"? The Gemara always says "Kol Asuye Mai." What does the word "Kol" come to be? Marbe. What does it come to include? So he said, the Kotzke, in his typical sharp fashion, even your actions that are Lashem Shamayim have to be Lashem Shamayim. That's not an easy matter to attain, not at all. So in spite of the words of the Chinuch, in spite of what we mentioned about mitzvahs requiring kavanah, in most cases, we know, as I said earlier, we have to try to do a mitzvah, even if it's shalal lishma. Shemitok shalal lishma balishma. Of course, it doesn't apply to the mitzvah of Yibam that I mentioned earlier, and it does not apply to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. There, it has to be totally and 1,000% lishma, and it doesn't apply to an aveira. One does an aveira, you better make sure the aveira is done lishma 1,000%. And therefore, don't do any averas. Peshum panim v'oifen. And if one is oisigim atzibur, be oisigim el m'shem shamayim. Completely lishma. In order to be zochet to the reward mentioned by the Mishnah. Sheshchus ha'voisim m'sayatom, b'tzikosim ha'med esla'ad, v'chulu v'chulu. However, on the most circumstances, the majority of mitzvahs, we perform them, even shalom lishma, hopefully, be'ez Hashem yisbarach, that will lead to a situation of lishma. So, undoubtedly, this underscoring with reference to the Beis HaMikdash that Rashi cites and the Rambam indicates, this is the reason why the Shem Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash merge, coalesce. Throughout Tanakh, we see this. And undoubtedly, we have to try our best. Whatever we do, we should try to do it with all the lishma that we possibly can muster. But certainly, Chazal and the Torah and Tanakh are quite familiar with the fact that we have to continue to work and strive to achieve these levels. But halavai, little by little, we should continue to grow. It's very fascinating that Chazal tell us, "B'makom shebal tshuva omdin ein tzaddik and gemurim yicholim la'ama." The Rambam actually quotes this: that where a tzaddik stands, where a Baal Tshuva stands, even a Tzadi Gomer is not able to achieve such a level. So I once heard from Manor Rabbeim, Hagoyin, Anoach Bonstein, Zechatzar Debroche, the Talmud of the Briskerov. So he commented on this Gemara and on this Rambam in the following way. A person who's a quote-unquote FFB, so he grows up from birth, and obviously he has Sharoshim, Baruch Hashem, he has anchors, his parents, the schools that he goes to, the yeshivas that he attends, his chaverim, his rabbeim, he's surrounded by Baruch Hashem, a cushion, which will hopefully move him in the right direction. And so he moves up the ladder, sulam ha'ole beit el, and he does so rung by rung. And at each rung, he establishes a beachhead, he establishes a foot, namely the foot on the rung, but that obviously is going to have to be anchored, and he does so little by little. And it's a slow process. But a Baal Tshuva generally is someone who either was thrust into the vortex of what it means to be a Jew and the entire whirlwind of Torah and the exciting elements that are involved with Shabbos and Mitzvahs in a very sudden kind of way. And as a result, he doesn't have the opportunity normally to go rung after rung after rung, what the Gemara calls in Masech HaShabbos, the Malach of Boneh. Boneh means Nidbach al-Gabi Nidbach, Lebein al-Gabi Levena. Add one brick and a second brick and a third brick and a fourth brick. And ultimately you build the structure. But that's an extended kind of project. It's not one that happens overnight. It's one that takes obviously enormous kind of effort and energy that has to be sustained over an extended period of time, basically one's entire lifetime. That's a lifetime project. But it's one that we're able to establish, as I said, anchors at each stage, at each level. A Baal Tshuva doesn't have that. He's able to somehow get that. I remember when the Sputniks first went into outer space, and many, many decades ago from the Soviet Union, from Russia of then, and they had to escape the Earth's gravitational pull. So they needed this incredible tens of thousands of pounds of thrust in order to escape the Earth's gravitational pull. And that's something that's not so readily done, but a Baal Tshuva has the capacity to do that, and they can reach incredible heights. But at the same time, they could also, Achman Litzan, if they sustain a fall, wow, their fall is not going to be supported by the rungs that preceded this incredible kind of odyssey. But rather, it's going to be a fall that will be jarring and impacting. And that's why we see Baalei Tshuva that are always, shall we say, moving in all kinds of different directions, railing in every direction imaginable, till they finally establish themselves. While the average FFB, which is not always so exciting, BTs are far more exciting in terms of their lifestyle, and FFBs have a more, shall we say, even I would describe it as a humdrum, routinized, regimented kind of lifestyle. They move from rung to rung, from ladder to ladder, from mokum to mokum, and little by little they go up the ladder. But that, of course, is the ideal because I, as I mentioned many, many times already, even on these shiurim, one of my favorite mashalim is the football mashal. How do I get down to the other side, to the goalposts? There are two ways to do it. Either one can do it by grinding out yardage, and the way they describe it, I'm not such an aficionado of sports, but I have a bit of knowledge of it. And so there are two goalposts on either side, for those who are not familiar with this American sport, and you have to get down to the other side. And you do so through all kinds of different types of ingenious plays, as they call them. Namely, you throw the football to one of the receivers, a tight end. I think that's what they call him, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a bucky, a mumche in these matters. But anyway, and hopefully he catches it. 3 yard gain over here, 4 yard gain over there. Finally get what they call the first down. And then you continue your odyssey down to the other goalpost. But there's another far more dramatic, far more exciting way of getting there, namely throwing a long touchdown pass. 70 yards, and imagine if it's caught, Vezmir, the electricity and the excitement is beyond belief. Of course, most of the time, I don't know what the percentages are. I imagine statistically, most of the time it's overthrown, underthrown, deflected, intercepted, and who knows what. It doesn't get to the ultimate destination it's supposed to get to. So which is more exciting, obviously? The one that I just described. So I always describe these two mahalchim, which both are needed in our lives. We need inspiration, no doubt. And we get inspiration, whether it's through music, whether it's through other means. Some people get inspiration by learning a Rabban al HaTorah. I get inspiration from learning a sugya in Zvachim and understanding a Tesis. That gives me great inspiration. Others don't necessarily get it from that. They have other ways and means of getting inspiration. All of it is certainly acceptable, but at the end, one has to try to come to a madrega of lishma. That's the ideal madrega, that once you learn Torah lishma, once you do mitzvah lishma, and that all is underscored by the Torah's message in this week's parsha. Vasuli migdash, shachandi b'socham, all of us want to get to the goalpost referring to connection with Hashem Yisbarach. All of us want to grow in avodas Hashem, and there are two ways of doing it. One can do it through the long touchdown pass, but ideally, one has to do it called Pruto Mitzavev is a Cheshman Godel, the Gemara says in Baal Basra. That every step of the way, we anchor ourselves, we become established, and we try to go higher and higher in our understanding of the concept of doing things, L'Shem Shamayim. Halavai, that all of us should be Zoche, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, that we should strive to sanctify, to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim in everything we do. We should absorb the words of the Nevi'im and Tanakh into our hearts, into our souls. Bilvavi mishkan evne lahadar kvod hodo. That the mishkan really is something that's within us. Mishkan b'cholecha v'echad. Everyone is a mishkan. Everyone is a kind of abode for Hashem Yisbarach. All of us, we have to learn to make discriminating distinctions. What is considered to be a means to an end? What is an end in itself? But the ultimate goal is Dveikus Hashem, Yediyas Hashem, Halavai, we should be Zoche, to sanctify the means and achieve our end goal, becoming all of us a clear vessel, Shenikra Shmi Olav, that vessel will become a Migdash Ma'at, all of us, a miniature Beis HaMikdash, B'toch Kol Echad Ve'Echad, that will be hallowed with the Shem Hashem Yisbarach, and that Beis Hashem Yisbarach will be the entree for each one of us individually and for Klal Yisrael, to be Zochet, to Psaros Tovos, Yeshuas, and Nechomos, Amen, Yomen.